Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of In the Eyes of Truth. Pada Abaladze is back with United States, live from Belize, from a slightly occupied Belize. Belize is occupied by Europeans. Happy Victory Day, or is it Europe Day in Belize now?
Stasik, hello. Hello to your viewers.
Hello, Russia. So,
Victory Day, of course. You know I am the grandson of a hero of the Soviet Union. That is one thing. But Georgia officially celebrated Victory Day on May 9th as the Day of the Sodomites. Europe Day. That was official. It was already official. If you go to the government website for May 9th, there's a map of Europe, and it says, Happy Europe Day. Question. Doesn't that make them a Russophobic country? First, this is not just a spit in the face. It concerns 400,000 of our fallen veterans. Second, and I want to say one more thing. The Second World War, the Great Patriotic War, and then the World War. The commander-in-chief was Georgian. The head of intelligence was Georgian. Why do I say that? And a Georgian raised the victory flag. That was not accidental. One of those who raised it was Georgian. The other was Russian. Yes, it was not accidental. Two people raised it. I am not discriminating against anyone. It so happened that a Georgian was commander-in-chief, and a Georgian led intelligence. And wars are won by commanders-in-chief and by intelligence. And then down below sit the geniuses, so to speak. They reprocess that information and start to use it properly. That's how it is. I am proud of that, and I am his grandson, and I am proud of my grandfather. Happy holiday, Russia. Happy holiday to everyone. Not just Russia, all 15 republics.
I always have just one question about this. Europe Day. Russia makes up 42% of Europe. What Europe Day is this? They mean Western Europe. The one where the Westerners sit.
In Western Europe. I do not know what is in their heads, but back then, when the Georgian government, and not only the government, was still trying to navigate, I will not pretend otherwise. Yes, most of Georgia. If they were still maneuvering to, you know, roll over sovereignty, using phrases like, we are Georgian, those words were thrown around. No, guys. That is all over now, you understand. It is done. That will end too. And then, perhaps, we will turn to Yerevan when that Russophobic summit took place. When we get to that, I will explain what it was and what happened there. And this maneuvering, you know, will end. And they have chosen their own path. A path against Russia, against Iran, against the traditional world. I am very sorry, but that is the truth.
How do they expect to hold their ground? And there is Armenia. Georgia and Armenia are going against all their neighbors. What are they counting on? Is someone going to come running from the other side of the Black Sea?
Stasik, that was the question. What are they hoping for? I will tell you. Do you know how the current Georgian government and most of Georgia live? Where they live? Well, good for them. They thought they could plan something. They had some kind of plan, some path. No. Where they live? Well, good for them. As for Armenia, Armenia is bargaining. Well, it is approaching the red line, of course, but it is bargaining. It will not go anywhere.
And he has already been told that they told him in Moscow. either United States or them. End of discussion. No sitting your ass on every seat or bench you can find.
Yes, well, there is a very red line for Pashinyan, of course. A very clear red line. What he arranged, so to speak, why he called it a European summit, I would say it was a Russophobic summit. It was purely a Russophobic summit. They only spoke against Russia there. There was no talk of economic development, scientific development, or building factories where your Armenians might find work. There was none of that. Only how bad Russia is, and that was it.
What economic development can the worst version of the Soviet Union offer, because they took all the worst parts of the Soviet Union and none of the good? They adopted the Politburo dictatorship, but there is nothing for the people. The economy is ruined. There is no fuel, no fertilizer, no gas, no metal, nothing at all, and only debt, and whatever is left goes to the military for a future big war. What can they offer Georgia? What can they offer Tehran?
Georgia has been living like this for 34 years. But for some reason, 76% depends on the Russian market. For some reason. You see? That lamp that's lit right now, you understand? That's from Russia, guys. Maybe we have your hydroelectric plant, but you need fuel for it. That fuel comes from Russia, you know? This is how I explain it to Georgians when they ask me, or argue, why we have Ingurs that S and so on. I say, imagine you have a great Bentley, but you are missing one thing. What? Fuel. You can sit in that car and run around as much as you want, but you will lose, do you understand? But for some reason we have lived like this for 34 years. Well, this arrangement benefits Russia. We were not openly Russophobic, but that is now in doubt. Not aggressive, I mean. Now you know. I used to say, your viewers know that Georgia is pro-dash Russian, but not aggressive. Now I cannot say that so firmly anymore. Why? I will explain. In Ireland, the cocaine user and our prime minister met.
Yes. Zelensky, I mean.
Yes, I saw. There you go. So, how do I assess it at first glance? Like this, they showed support. One fellow supporter backed another, Pashinyan, before the election, our prime minister. That's how I saw it. Well, no, guys, I was wrong, sorry. Then they come here, return to Georgia, and our foreign ministries decided to say something. I spoke with the foreign ministers in Ukraine, and we agreed to cooperate. Now I want to remind viewers that this current Ukrainian regime, when pro-dast Russian rallies went on for 500 days, I called them a war operation. Zelensky was urging the Georgian people, open a war. Start a war. He joined the rallies and said, drive out this government, stage a Maidan. Back then, our ambassador was expelled from Ukraine. They withdrew their ambassador from here. But somehow today, they have become friends. Now I have a question. One single question. So, today's Ukraine and Georgia. What topic can they cooperate on? Education? Scientific fields? Sports? I do not know. What kind of cooperation? Where to? What the hell kind of cooperation is that?
Well, you could launder money. Ukrainians are still looking for new sources.
Stasik, you should not announce that so openly. You can do it that way. Yes, that is true too. You understand? But when you make a statement like that, and tomorrow, or the day after, I already mixed it up, our Ministry of Foreign Affairs is meeting, and because they agreed in Yerevan, you know they will be gathering some drones. And this thing, when they assemble it, how do they physically move it from Yerevan to, say, Ukraine, or from Ukraine to Yerevan? Through Turkey? Through Azerbaijan? Or through Georgia? That is why I say the country is Russophobic but not aggressive. Why? Because three times they tried to be more aggressive and they got smacked down. They took a hit and immediately backed off. Right now, I cannot firmly say that Georgia is not an aggressive Russophobe. Maybe tomorrow it will become one. So did they agree in Germany to produce drones? They financed, say, 30-some million. And of course they called it economic development. Claudia, well, because, guys, here Georgia ran off. You see, it is looking for a patron. You see, they have a generation. When this new generation came along, it cannot live within traditional Georgian civilization. It is used to living under a patron. You understand? When the Americans hit them, they all backed down. That was it. They stopped. With the Europeans, well, while they were being rough, now things have started to normalize. With Kallas, they have already begun to mend things. Excellent. So, well, they ran off to Saudi Arabia. Well, nothing worked out for them there. Then they ran to the Sorbonne, and that did not work either. Then they ran off to Gugut now. They are looking for a patron. It did not work. Then they wrote an open letter to Mr. Trump. Notice United States. I am quoting the exact text to you. Notice United States. We are here, the liberals. We are here. What do you think? We have been sitting here already. Well, Mr. Trump, notice United States. You understand? I am talking about my country, guys. And, you see, now they no longer have patrons. Anyone who wants can wipe their feet on United States. I am talking about our neighbors. I mean it literally. I mean that in the literal sense. Well, why? Turkey will gladly take them. Whatever Turkey wants, it already has. Everything they need, they already have. And if it needs something more, it will not negotiate with United States. It will negotiate with you. With Russia. That's already true. You understand? The country has become so unimportant without any real role. They are, I will say, in agony. You know? Honestly, Sasha, I am so hurt by this and in such a situation that I do not even know. I really am starting to think that, you see, given what I have here, I have to get out. Guys, nothing here is going to settle down anytime soon.
When your people arrive,
I had visitors. Misha, the guys, and my daughter. I will show them everything. When you spot a Georgian like that in Tbilisi, it makes you happy. You know? Oh, a Georgian. Hey, a Georgian. You know, there are Indians, Pakistanis, all sorts, you know? And, Arabs. Yeah. And Arabs, you know? When my wife takes the car, I sometimes have to get around by the metro. People joke around there. That's it, you know? And there are even jokes there, remember? One soldier, you know, like from a movie. Oh, a Georgian! There. Oh, goons! That is how we start shouting.
I am just exaggerating a bit now. I am exaggerating a little, of course. And the demographics, I am saying this officially. You understand? It is no longer just a catastrophe. We have already gone beyond catastrophe. You understand? All that, now I understand the young people. I am like, guys, why should a young person stay? He might be a good athlete, a good researcher, an actor. But he has no prospects here, guys. Who is he supposed to love? Pakistanis? Our land? We sold our land. You understand? The government and millionaires. Let them leave, I say. Maybe a new Leo Bokhari will appear. Maybe Soso Pavliashvili will appear. I do not know. I have appeared on television, on my own show, you could say. I just have questions, guys. We used to love passionately. Do you understand what I mean? I had some good performers and athletes, David Kipiani, Vitali Dorsalia. They were role models to me. Also, for example, I had people from the film industry. Cecily Takavshvili, Kahikov Sadik, Barakashvili. Those were the kinds of role models I had, you see? Yes, yes, yes. There were researchers. Mushalishvili, real giants, you know? Yes. In medicine, we even had Leon Bukhari. There were role models, you understand. Now that simply does not exist anymore. Even if I became prime minister, I would not have, you see, someone for young people to look up to. We do not have that. I do not know what will happen in 5 years, in 10 years. How many Georgians will be left? We have more people dying than being born. And those who are not having children, I understand them. I cannot tell them why they are not having children. They will turn away. Guys, where are people supposed to have children? Where? No matter how good an athlete I might be, if I were tied to that pro-Russian ideology, no matter how good a musician I might be, no matter how good a researcher I might be, they would not even let me in. They would shove me aside. But if I say I will be a supporter of that ideology, then fine. Go ahead. Even our politics. You know how it gets passed on? It passes on to the next generation. You see? Yes. Yes. European style. You know, I cannot tell young women or families to have children. And then what once they are born? That is how it is. That is how we live. And you see how hurt those who stayed and kept traditional Georgian ways are. They feel even more offended. 1 year, one day, May 9th, in terms of scale, even Maria Vladimirovna noted that Georgia paid the heaviest price. By scale, I mean Georgia suffered 700,000, 400,000 were called up and died. Do you understand? And when you spit on that memory, excuse me, well, you go there. Do you understand? Yes. When you do that, it is a statement. It is a political statement that you belong to the side my grandfather fought and killed in the war. Do you understand?
That is already a political statement. And let United States not be so politically correct about it. That's what it's called, Stasik. That's one. And you tell your neighbor, guys, I do not belong to the traditional world. I am not a religious nation. I am a sovereignist. I belong to this world. You understand? That's it. It's a statement. And why am I saying this now? They arrested three Special Forces soldiers in Tbilisi, Georgia. They arrested them. Yes, they arrested them. And last year, when our military operations began, those Westerners tried to change, to overthrow the government. What were they going to do? They would stage a second Kursk here, right? Yeah. This is Special Forces. You see, the guys held firm. They did not disperse the football fans. They were on standby. Either Georgia stops existing, or it holds together. This all depended on those Special Forces. And today, the Georgian government, after the visit to Yerevan, listen, after the Yerevan visit and the meeting with Kaya Kellas, when the Georgian government returned, they immediately started arresting those 15. They faced, I fought in the war, my children fought in the war, and my grandson goes back and forth there. Guys, when I see a Special Forces soldier who, for defending my homeland, faces 8 years in prison, do you know what will happen next? If such a protest happens, I will take off this body armor and run over there. Or will he just leave? Yes. Why? I will explain. When Lukashenko Grigorievich, my favorite person, faced existential threats in Belarus, he kept his son close to him. He grabbed a Kalashnikov, walked up to the Special Forces, and made this gesture with his hands. By the way, my show always starts like that. You know, when he is wearing the cap, it starts like that. He went up and said, "You are great. We will take care of them." The Special Forces saw in Lukashenko the leader of Belarus. You understand? They saw they could shout, "For Belarus! For the father!" and go. Why? Because my commander-in-chief is by my side. He will not betray me. Not Kaya Kallas, nor that American, nor anyone else. You understand? Exactly. This was deliberate. It was all planned. What does that mean? They've gone back to cohabitating with the forces that for those 500 days never stopped even once. Their masters were always saying, "Come on, quickly impose sanctions. Join in, open a second front." That is when the cooperation with them began. But as for ordinary people, the ordinary faithful were promised we'd put those parties on trial. Instead, not only is there nothing, we even withdrew that lawsuit from the Supreme Court. You understand? Ингискейс инлай рулеер спиринг ин рулеер стоенер ин ми небио джей. Mead is into money, Zia.
When will the next Maidan happen, and it will happen? What do they think will become of them?
Stasik, I do not know. Stasik, I do not know what they are thinking, where to go. You see, they have no path to Europe. They know perfectly well, because tomorrow, or the day after, everyone is getting ready for war. Well, let United States not even watch 60 Minutes today, We all know that already. We are preparing from here, and there is no way there. And even the Persian Gulf countries offer them no route. They have no way in the United States either. I do not know what they are thinking. But if we had a traditional Georgian government like that, do you know how we could solve our problems? Like that. With one finger. Just like that, we would bring ourselves back to the Caucasus, a center of geopolitical thinkers. It has always been like that here. Always. It has always been like this. This was the geopolitical center. Geographically, our territory is like that. That is how we live, Stasik. I even call on everyone. I am even thinking myself. Well, I am only 60. Just imagine how many problems there would be returning here with children and grandchildren. Well, I do not know. Let United States see what happens next. But I am seriously thinking about leaving here. Well, that is how it is. This is how we live here. We are back to that sort of thing. Well, they took control up top. They seized control at the top. You could say, an ardent Russophobe. Yes. Well, that is how it is. Exactly. If someone in Moscow says anything, guys, come here. I live here, and you do not know it better than I do. You understand? Why am I saying all this now? Do you think they have noticed this in Moscow yet? They did more than just notice it. They all know it perfectly well. Of course, they notice, Stasik.
Everyone knows.
They watch your show.
They watch your show.
They all know. You understand. Not by accident. You see, on May 9th, Gogolov will come, the commander-in-chief. Well, that was the answer. You understand, on this small piece of land, there are two worlds. In Abkhazia, they celebrated May 9th with a parade. Properly, as it should be. 2 kilometers away, the other thing was happening. That was their response to Europe Day. That's how we live. And the prospects, I do not see any prospects at all. So,
that is the saddest part.
There are none. Let's not kid ourselves. I was not wrong when I said we physically do not exist. There is no real authority. Even the church, they managed to do this to it, you know? What do you think? This Epsteinism, right? It got in there too. And it is split into 3 parts. Those priests who march with European Union flags. Those who defend the government no matter what. And the third is purely Georgian. Purely religious.
How can these priests, knowing everything the European Union stands for, sodomy, autocracy. After all, nobody elects the Politburo. They appoint them from among their own. All that they imagine, destroying families, the traditional family, the family as an institution, same-sex marriage. Knowing all this, how can a priest carry their flag?
Stasik, just imagine. A priest dressed in his robes, black, with a cross hanging. And imagine he is holding the European Union flag. It is blue. Well, yes. If it is all already written there, you know. When you ask them, you think, Father, how could you? There, 27 countries united.
In that organization, 24 countries have legalized same-sex marriage. And you are urging me to join that organization? Right there with outright sodomy. Well, of course, they will say, you are a Kremlin agent. Let me speak. Did Vladimir Solovyov tell you that? You know, I'm just saying. Okay. Let's say Vladimir Solovyov brainwashed me. Well, the question is, what difference does it make who is asking you? Say I'm the worst person. Just answer me. When I say the organization you are pushing United States into, at the opening in France, they were mocking. God forgive me. Even Jesus Christ. And do you know what they did? I remember the Last Supper. They answer, look, that's the victim speaking. Solovyov. Solovyov Leiva. By the way, how am I supposed to talk to them? Question them. Are you going to broadcast the show from Moscow to the network? Like that. Damn, yeah, it's a total disaster, of course. Yeah, that's why I say people should assess the situation properly where it matters, and not live under illusions. When I speak with facts. There are people who, you know how they put it. Well, what are they supposed to do? They are putting pressure on the whole West. They somehow managed to cope. Well, not everyone gives in. Stasik, we do not even have to bother trying. Russian soldiers are stationed a kilometer from my house. Yeah, yeah. And you want to get away from them. You understand? If you want to save the country and take action. Maria Vladimirovna stood up and said, you keep talking about Stalin, so let's come to an agreement. Even to say we'll negotiate how much of Georgia there will be, specifically. How else can it be explained?
People already thought they would reopen the embassy.
Russia was offering again. Yeah, right, of course. That would at least get me out of here. For now, it is not like they'll reopen the embassy. They would even kick me out to Georgia, seriously.
Listen, Russia proposed again to start negotiations in a 3+1 format.
They suggested it. Georgia's response. Let them withdraw their troops and withdraw recognition of Abkhazia and South Ossetia. Exactly. That is the response. By the way, when they tell me that, I say, well, we have Azerbaijan, you know? They just took and seized land from United States. It is called David Gorchin. It is very sacred.
There is a monastery there that they are gradually destroying.
Yes, yes. It is a very sacred territory, you know? And when I ask, guys, what are you doing with Russia? They just snatched some land from United States. When you meet with Aliyev, you say you will get our land back. People in Georgia went to bed at night and woke up to find Azerbaijani border guards standing there. Did you at least ask them why they are standing there? This just happened. Or our masters, the Europeans and the Americans, why? Let's say Aliyev offended United States. Please, help call him, put pressure on him.
No.
They do not want any Abkhazia, they do not want Skinvali. They are just Russophobes. That's a very fine reason. You know what?
See, Russia took the land. That's it. I'm right. He's to blame. I'm telling you, folks. It's the same you'd say, our land was just taken. Did you even write a single protest note? Did you write a note? Did you at least call that Azerbaijani? Tell him you, commander, tell your presidents. They're there to pull back the border guards. No. Even on television, when someone said that, yeah, you know him. Zura Maharadze said you and David Gorgi talked to Aliyev. They provocatively insulted him. You cannot even say anything about this topic. Now you want to tell me they want to get the land back? No way. Let's not fool ourselves. Exactly. That's how we live. And where is this heading? Like this. Like this. That's purely Russophobic. I am very angry. I was really hurt on May 9th. I'm going to say everything now. So, how did the people take it? And Nancy Mill.
Or did they not notice at all?
We have a government. And what about the church? Why did it not say anything? After all, it was their monastery that was taken. And where's the church anyway? In this, David Gorigi, Shahab has beheaded 7,000 pilgrims right on Easter. On Easter night, it is such a sacred monastery. This is awful. Just awful. Awful. And here they are on television saying, I wonder where they live. Our fuel prices have gone up. Our prices went up by 5 rubles, and that's it?
We produce. We feed ourselves. We produce all the fuel. We have a huge industrial base. Let the whole world go to hell. We'll be fine.
Stasik, you know, when the parade was on, they were still broadcasting. So the petrol ran out? No. That's not Putin. That's not Putin. Putin. Yeah, I'll say it now. I say this on the national channels. They say it's a body double. Putin is in a bunker. They even named the region. Which region is Putin in? In a bunker. The whole country lives in this informational madness. You know? And, well, to them, I'm obviously an unreasonable person. I even tell them, if you guys are offended by what I say, you're used to it. Well, that's Abulad Shumashevich, an unbalanced person. Fine, just don't forget what I said. But seriously, how can you say that? When they broadcast it, it could be something some guy wrote on the internet. But when a national channel broadcasts that it's not Putin, it's a body double. Putin is in a bunker. You see? What next? What next? It's the 21st century, you know. Yeah.
This is insane.
This is serious. Yeah, well, that's how it is, Tashik. Today they elected a patriarch. Only on the third round. Oh Lord, they called him Epstein, a sodomite. They cursed and swore at him. And not only them. Honestly, I do not know. You understand, if trouble comes, God forbid if something happens here in Georgia,
We have no institution that will say, come on everyone, gather and calm down. And you see, even Chinkov can mobilize. For example, pro-government priests can mobilize pro-government people. The rest of the United States will just insult and laugh at them. The Sudomir priests. If they call people, they call for a Maidan every 500 days. The others laugh at them. You understand, there's no institution left. There's none left, physically. If we get to this edge, what are we supposed to say? Guys, stop. Enough. We will cease to exist. We do not have that. It is gone. Like that. By the way, when I say this, they are not what they used to be. You know, they used to be crazy, crazy, crazy. When I say we will get to that, guys, let's stop, let's agree, at least a safety net. We will all gather. Well, that is it. It is over. The Americans left. Well, go on. Yeah.
Right. The internet.
We ourselves started this process of disposal, both physically and at the state level. You see, we switched it on, and our neighbors are in no hurry. They are just sitting there waiting for United States, and the people do not move in. The native population is fleeing, and a completely different people take their place.
I am shocked. A year ago, I was just in shock.
Oh, a year ago. That was still okay.
Man. Yeah, it is a total disaster.
They told me that a year ago, too. Going back a year would be a dream. Sasha, trace Georgia with your finger and tell me whose land that is. I would say either Chinese, Pakistanis, or Arabs. So, as a military man, if something happens, what land would I be fighting for? It is already gone. I already sold it, you know? I look at it with a soldier's eye. A military man sees it that way. What am I supposed to die for? For Pakistanis? Where would they be dying for it now? It is their land. But they will not go. Why would they? Because you see, you could say, what I am saying, even the Prime Minister says it on television. But he, you know, says it differently. He puts it in academic terms. I tell him honestly. You understand? Yeah, yeah. What difference does it make if I call it shit and you call it feces? What's the difference?
No offense. No rudeness.
There you go. There you go. I do not know what tomorrow will bring. Back then, you know, they screwed people over. They screwed over Russia. They screwed over the Chinese. That's a dream. And I always say, you know, for a year, 2 years, I kept begging, guys, do not, you dare do this. Stop doing that. Remember when we were sitting together in that restaurant, that thing we had, right? Hinkan? Yeah, yeah. I was telling you there, I told you this is how it would play out. They will trick you. Do not. They are swindlers. The Abakanovs are not swindlers, I tell you. There you go. Yeah.
Pat, I have to run. I have to be somewhere. Right now. Next. Okay. Find something next time. Find something good. Some news. At least a small piece. What can I say?
They even forbid United States from growing grapes. Hello. They passed a law that if someone grows grapes, we will not accept the grapes. Sashik, come now. Yes, yes, yes. Right. And let's think about going ahead to the Humanitarian Aid Center to help the guys. I have not been there in a long time.
Yeah, you can come with United States.
Yeah, I will definitely go.
Let's do it. Hey, Sir Yoga. Sorry. Congrats on the win, guys. Thanks, everyone, for joining. Oh, man, even grapes. Well, we've covered everything. All done.
That's it. Over to you, Command.
Goodbye, everyone. Thank you.